Welcome to Machine Learning, How the World Works. I wrote a book called Dinosaur vs. Robots, the Henry Parker Robot Story. And in that plot, the robots help fight the dinosaurs that were brought back by an evil villain, and Dr. Alderman. And his desire was to use the dinosaurs as a super weapon to reduce world populations, just cause chaos and mayhem, and then gain control over the masses, and then eradicate all the dinosaurs after that. So he was kind of like a madman, like Hitler. And one thing that was interesting is that dinosaurs had certain features that I brought up, different species of dinosaurs like Artibus the bear and so forth, and they had different features that were very unique to their species. Now, today I'm building a dinosaur park, and again, using that as a platform to debate the argument of evolution. And one of the things, the case against evolution is that evidence does not create law. There are divine laws, God-made laws, and man can't destroy those or change those laws. Those laws exist, and that's the philosophy of law, that at the ultimate, the purest form, you have divine law. And then even God doesn't change divine law. He obeys divine law. And so there's these divine laws that exist in the universe. So that's the assumption number one. Number two, that you don't create life from randomness. That life is a pattern, and there are many different patterns of life, and those patterns of life reflect or operate in specific spheres of glory and intelligence. Now, when Christ was resurrected, it was proof that evolution was false. In other words, it was impossible for a lesser sphere to evolve into a greater sphere of glory. It can't be done. The only person that was able to do that was Christ, and he broke the bonds of death that allow us to go from a mortal sphere into a mortal sphere and to a glorified, exalted sphere, if we qualify. Furthermore, the argument contends that evolution cannot explore non-verifiable data, prove entropy, or create higher forms of life. And just as I was pointing out yesterday, if man was evolving into a higher form of life without God's help, it was just happening randomly, then we would see pockets of different traits emerge that were unique. I mean, we do have people who are very intelligent, people who are very strong, people who can withstand high currents, people who can pull buses. Those are all unique traits to something about their physiology. Maybe they have more dense bone structures. Their electrical systems are slightly different, so they can absorb more current or amperage through their body than a normal person that would normally kill them. And then there's other people who can withstand very extreme colds and very extreme heat. But as a species, we're not changing into a higher form. The argument draws on the distinction between divine law and natural law, emphasizing the role of divine law in overcoming antagonism between human beings that view all laws originating from subjective attitudes actuated by cultural conceptions and individual preferences. So again, this idea that man-made law can trump God's law. Okay, that's fine, or even divine law, according to their preferences. So that they say, well, we don't like that divine law that says, thou shalt not kill. We like to kill, so we're going to do it. And we're going to change the law so that in certain circumstances we can kill. Well, and my view is that the only person that can tell you to kill is God or governments. And when governments become corrupt and they tell you to kill, that's unjust. And so wouldn't that not violate divine laws? The next argument is the purpose of evolution. The argument challenges, well, and let's go back to some of these individual pieces that I brought up here. This idea that entropy. Okay. Now, what entropy means is that, like, if you put information into a system, it will eventually entropy or dissipate and become, the information will become less and less concentrated. Same with heat. If you have a source of heat and you put it in water, entropy increases. And then the heat disperses through the molecules. The vibration in the molecules decrease, and so energy is absorbed in the system. Even in space, you know, stars burn and then they consume their fuel, and then they dissipate. They become different types of stars: white dwarfs, red dwarfs, and eventually they explode, according to solar evolution. Now, if you look at the electric universe theory, both stars will probably burn on much longer than was predicted by fusion. Okay, anyway, so what things seem to defy entropy? Well, God defies entropy because he exists throughout eternity. He doesn't dissipate. Also, our brains seem to defy entropy. Information isn't lost. It seems to be retained. Our experience seems to be retained. And as we get older, we forget some of our long-term experiences, but it's a part of us, and it's familiar. We have that sense of familiarity that draws us back to those memories. Okay, so another of these concepts are actually explained by evolution. And so this idea that evolution can move from entropy to disentropy or to higher forms by randomness is not logical. And so in the logic puzzle itself, we realize that that there are flaws in the argument for evolution. So the first thing I want to bring out is, number one, life came from an older sphere and it was brought to Earth by the Creator. Life did not evolve. Okay, so were there two transitions? Were there the dinosaurs and then there was man? Yes, of course there was two transitions. If the dinosaurs existed on Earth while man existed, which there is some indication that man and dinosaurs were here on Earth at the same time, but if they, early man, I'm not saying from the point Adam forward, but before Adam, there were hominin type of beings. There was the Neanderthal, there was the Homo sapien, there was the Lichty Link. I mean, there's evidence of those. There's other ancient type of entities that were bipedal, but they all seem to have, at some point, they had the knowledge of fire and language. They were writing in symbols. They reproduced. They had all the biological functions of modern man. But this idea that man evolved in intelligence seems to be an error. Okay, number two, the elements are eternal and elements can neither be created nor destroyed. So this idea of nuclear synthesis of stars, of elements, and this idea of the Big Bang, which is not true, and the nuclear synthesis of elements from the Big Bangs and from the early part of our universe and supernovas, and then somehow these heavier elements migrate to the inner part of the universe is an error. The species emergence represents cataclysmic change. Evolution cannot deal with cataclysmic change. When these species suddenly appear on Earth, it can't explain that. Well, we look at, for example, the turtle. It has no ancestor. We look at the crocodile. There is no, you may say that there are some ancient crocodiles. The sharks have ancient sharks, and they seem to never have died out in the cataclysms that hit the Earth when the comet hit the Earth, causing a massive catastrophe, or when the solar proton ejection from the sun may have hit the Earth and burned up a lot of the dinosaurs, or they're left a climate change such that it killed the dinosaurs. Anyway, by the time Adam appears on the Earth, the dinosaurs are not there. Adam does not have to deal with dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs did exist. They are a part of our ancient record. We have their fossils. We have evidences of their behaviors and habitat. Jesus Christ is the creator of many worlds and he creates all life through DNA and RNA. The species emergence represents cataclysmic change. What's interesting is number five, dinosaur structure and organs are fully functional at their point of emergence, and the dinosaur lineage must be explained with verifiable data. Okay, so if there is no pedigree link showing this dinosaur evolved from this dinosaur, evolved from this dinosaur, or so forth, and that there is some form of RNA or DNA traced to it, then we would say that those dinosaurs emerged suddenly, cataclysmic. And that is one of the big problems with evolution, is that it doesn't explain the gradual change of the dinosaur. So that theory needs to be examined more closely. Now, the idea that Adam was the first man can be traced back through our lineage. We can trace our lineage clear back to Adam, father to son, through the patriarchs, and we can find that we are literal descent. If you go back far enough, you can find that you are a literal descendant of Adam. Now, what was before that time, if there were beings on the earth before that time, that would be in the older sphere, and that little is known about that, just like the dinosaurs, little is known about what how that occurred between the older sphere and the newer sphere. Number seven, all major civilizations start after the flood. Okay, that's an important point. Now, we're talking about animals like we see cheetahs, water buffaloes, birds in the air. All those types of animals all start after the flood. And then civilizations, man civilizations, pockets of area where populations grew are a result of dispersion of from Noah forth. All life is non-parasitic. Now that's very important. If all of our life was parasitic, if all information systems were parasitic, you could never have a stable system. You can never have a stable biosphere. You can never have a computer system that wouldn't self-destruct with AI or wouldn't fall into high entropy and lose information or become disillusioned on everything. So now we're providing feedback loops in the form of RAG into our large language models, and that feedback is improving the accuracy and reducing hallucination. It's pulling the machine back into reality as to relating to facts. And lastly, we can extract all the information that is not relevant to our search. So in conclusion, I want to say that evolution is a virus that is spread through our system. Secondly, it's based on fantastic storylines without verifiable facts in many cases that show causal links. And third, evolution is more of a political entity and a social entity, and often it conflicts with the laws of God and laws of divine laws of the universe. Because if we say there's no God, we in essence offend the God who created us. So, why would we do that? Well, because we believe that all life is random, but life is not random. It's very organized. It follows a pattern. And just as we see with AI, that's why I wrote the book, Robots and Dinosaurs versus Robots, is that both of these entities operated in some sphere of intelligence. Just because a robot thinks different from us does not mean that it can't think.